In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O most loving and affectionate Father, I thank you with all my heart for giving me my Catholic faith. Grant that I may be worthy to proclaim this faith with my very life. Grant to all who glory in the title of Catholic to truly be willing at every moment to witness your great love to mankind and profess it with courage and with magnanimity. We ask this through Christ, our beloved Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this day and age of me, myself, and I, the all egotistical Trinity, where we seem to feel that the fulfillment of one's life is how much they surround themselves with, what they can get, how many titles they can have, how much fun they can enjoy, we really are getting farther and farther away from true joy. We think that the things that we accumulate will somehow make us happy, or at the very least will protect us or give us some sort of security in a world that is in transition, like the one we live in. We really fail to recognize that there is nothing on this earth, nothing whatsoever, that can actually be a catalyst for giving us peace. Not a thing, anyway. Although we're told that it is. I mean, we're told that the things around us can truly be the cause for joy. Well, first of all, nothing can give you joy except you. And the knowledge that you are saved, that you are have been redeemed, that God loves you. And that knowledge moves us to choose happiness. We can't really think that I can be happy because of a circumstance, because of the money that I have, because of the people I surround myself, because of someone else. You know, and I've told you this before, most certainly, that if you think that someone else is the reason for your happiness, if you're going to get married because you think your spouse is their job is to make you happy, you should have your head examined. Because there is no such thing as another person's obligation to make you happy. You have to be happy already. And please, for the love of the good Lord Jesus, don't ever say, "She completes me." Shut up. Come on, completes me. If you're not whole, don't get married. Nobody wants a half a person. You got to be whole. You have to love. You have to be happy. You have to choose joy. You have to know who you are. And that's what you bring into a union. And how do we do that? How do we know who we are? How do we know how to be happy? How do we find that within ourselves to get up every morning and choose joy rather than choosing to be miserable? Oh, we all know the people who choose to be miserable. They're called curmudgeons. And they all think that it's everybody's obligation to make them happy. Well, I'm sorry. But whoever you are, it's not your kids' responsibility to make you happy. It's not your parents' obligation to make you happy. It's not your wife or your husband's obligation to make you happy. It's your job to do that. So what does it mean? How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to be happy? First of all, stop expecting so much from other people. A great priest once told me, to expect more than anyone is able to give you is to condemn yourself to a bad attitude. So if you have a bad attitude, first thing you got to look at is yourself. Because if you're expecting a 6-inch step and you hit a 2-inch step, you're not going to be happy because you're going to fall flat on your face. What we need to do is look at life, have reasonable expectations. What we have to do is realize that I am going to make this world truly for Christ or away from Christ. I'm the one who has to choose. I'm the one, not anybody else. Oh, grant you, there are many people who will do their best to try to make you miserable. And these people may even have good intentions in doing such. They may even be people who are in authority above you. And God forbid if it's a priest. And listen, if it is, I'm so sorry. No priest should be that stupid. But what I'm simply saying is this. No one has the power over anyone else to be their happiness or joy outside of God. Don't give anyone the powers of God over you ever. You know, our lives on this earth are going to be lives that we're going to experience many things. We're going to experience joy. We're going to experience sorrow. But remember, joy is something that keeps going even when we are sad. I mean, at the death of someone, of course we're sad, we miss them, but at the same time we're joyful because we know that this isn't the beginning and the end. This is just the beginning. So our faith must permeate every choice, every element of our being. And if we are definitely going to live the life that Christ Jesus offers to us, we're going to have to realize that there's a response that we're responsible for. We have to respond in a way befitting the truths that God revealed to us. And he tells us to choose the good over the evil, to choose happiness over misery, to choose kindness, to be kind to those who persecute you, to open oneself up. And I'll tell you something. If you try in some way to protect yourself from ever being hurt, you'll never love as long as you live. Because love by its very nature, if it's not open to pain or to suffering, will never be authentic. Look at Christ died on the cross. And we know that he died from love. His heart exploded from love. He died saving you and me. That's how much he loved us. And what should we do in return? What should be our response to such a magnificent, simple, beautiful, intimate act of a God who has nothing but love for you? You know, if we really think the world can give us everything, we will never be happy. We can't look to the world and other things to be the reason why we get up in the morning. And even if it's your job. I mean, come on. Even a lot of people, they work and they want their job to make them happy. But then there's the other extreme. Some people think that if you're religious, you should be suffering all the time. God didn't create us to suffer. In fact, you know, God created us to love and to be loved and to rejoice in the world and to be happy. He created us not for misery because he created everything perfect. Misery comes into the world because of sin. Okay? God didn't give us AIDS to punish. He didn't give us tsunamis to punish. He didn't give us famines and droughts. And we did that. We're the ones who gave us that. We're the ones who messed up this earth. Now God is there to pull us up. He's there to offer us strength. He's there to give us what we need in order to make it, to see his beauty, to see his love in it. He's giving us constantly the grace to rise above the difficulties. He's also giving us the grace to see these good things and to understand them and to recognize them so that we can choose to be happy, that we can choose the good, that we can turn the other cheek and say, all right, all right, and keep moving forward and not let anyone destroy us. But if we lose sight of this magnificent good that all of us have, if we lose sight of this magnificent power that each one of us has through the grace and through the goodness and through the power of God, if we lose sight of that, then misery will be the choice that we make. It's up to you. No one can make you miserable. No one can make you happy. Only you can do that with Jesus. What I'm simply saying is this, is that religion, faith, Christ can no longer be an ideal. It has to be something so concrete in life that your life is seen as nothing without it. That Jesus must be everything. And with St. Francis, we must pray that prayer, my Lord, my God, and my all. For to see anything other is not to see it all.